Good evening, folks. Welcome to City Hall, built in 1912, virtually burned to the ground in the 1930s, and then rebuilt, courtesy of the citizens of Batavia. No, I'm just kidding. That was fire. Tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting is called to order, and let the record show that all the aldermen, save four, Alderman Dantino, Flanagan, and Singer. Marks. Good God, we switched around. Flanagan and Singer are present. This is a quorum, so this meeting will be official, as it were. We begin with perhaps the most important statement of the night. For those of you who may or may not be aware, my dad turned 74 years old today. He's watching at home with supplemental oxygen. We're very proud of him. That's a joke, too, by the way. So I'm sure I'll hear about that later. But happy birthday, Dad. He told me earlier I was his favorite son, which really made me feel good.
Man, you got nothing tonight.
This is tough,
you got
isn't
nothing.
He is going bad.
God, help us all. Okay, folks.
He's gone to hell.
Item two is consider the consent agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion. Alderman Boglesberg makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We move on. Two, item 4A, recommend draft resolution authorizing restated 3rd Street parking deck license agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Maladra makes the second. This is pretty much housekeeping, if you will. Any questions or comments regarding item 4A? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Item 4B is to recommend draft resolution authorizing the 2011-2012 capital improvement budget amendment in the water and wastewater division.
So moved.
Second.
Lodger makes the motion and Piper makes the second. Questions or comments for Mr. Van Gescom, who is our superintendent with us this evening, as well as our Director of Public Works, Mr. Dinges. Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4C is to recommend draft resolution authorizing the purchase of FlowServe two-stage pump in the amount of $32,648 for well number 10 rehab project.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion, and Boglesberg makes the second. Questions or comments from Mr. Van Gescom? Alderman Dantino.
Bob, you didn't care for the Gould three-stage pump or something? I see that a shorter delivery. I know you mentioned delivery in your letter.
We really don't have a problem with the Gould's three-stage. It's when you combine that with the Hitachi motor is where we have the concern. So the way it's built is if the Gould three-stage has to come with that Hitachi motor, and that's where we don't recommend that motor.
You don't like that motor. Okay.
We do. It's not that we don't like it. We just have no experience, whether that be the engineer or the city staff.
And okay, that's all I needed. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Any other questions for Mr. Van Gescom? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Item 4D, as in David. Recommend draft resolution authorizing the purchase of Aries Pathfinder sewer camera in the amount of $46,533.
So moved.
Second.
Maladra makes the motion. Boglesberg makes the second.
Isn't that supposed to be $45,800? According to the...
Oh, is the number different on the agenda?
Well, you just said it's $46,500.
I said $46,533.
And the camera of the Aries is $45,800, it says.
No, the low bidder on this was the $45,800. It's just how it's reading in the memo. That camera was the Q's camera, and
I see that.
The
okay.
difference of 700.
I thought it was above
explained.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any additional questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, what's the we've obviously had this equipment previously.
The sewer camera, yes, sir.
What's the life expectancy of a camera like this?
We've done very well. I would say it's anywhere between 6 to 8 years is usually the life of the camera itself. So
2002, you bought the last one.
Right. Okay. It depends on how much you use it, obviously, and the amount of repairs that go into it kind of makes our decision.
How many hours, roughly a year, would we use a camera like this? Or obviously it's seasonal.
Boy, it's hard to. I'm sorry, I don't really right. have that off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Sure.
Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That interesting segue into the second question. Is this the sort of item that might be bought and shared between the Tri-Cities since it's not used all the time?
You know, we've thought of that. The only problem is that with the maintenance that goes into it, with the time that usually everybody wants something like this, both cities have really also gone into more of a progressive program to where all three cities actually have their own camera and are doing more work because it usually pays off in the long run to be able to do your own program rather than contract it out. The way that we've all talked between the three cities, it would be a nightmare to try to combine resources to figure out who's going to pay for the replacement parts, who, you know, trying to schedule when we're going to be able to use this equipment because it always would vary. So it would be a really difficult piece of equipment in our estimation to be able to share something like this.
Well, it must be impossible to calculate a payback on this because the savings are all indirect on this. This is for the sewer system, not for the water system, right?
That's correct.
So it's a question of are we or are we not preventing flooding in the future by...
Right, and it's after there's problem issues, we will go out and inspect it. We also try to go in and televise our underground before the streets are repaired to see if there's any improvements that need to be done before then, which most cities also do. So it'd be really complicated to try and schedule that with the MFT program and. The other major factor is just the amount of televising we project to do in lieu of hiring a contractor, which would be far more expensive.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Questions for Mr. Van Gestel? The motion by Alderman Maladra, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg, remains on the floor. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Item 4E is to recommend draft resolution rejecting bids for the installation of Geneva Generation Facility maintenance and safety platforms and jib cranes.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill offers the motion, seconded by Alderman Piper. Questions or comments for Mr. Buffington, our superintendent of electricity.
I have a comment, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly.
Not to Mr. Buffington. I've already discussed it with him. I think it would be nice. It would be excellent if we could install the safety device, but the cost of over $100,000 over what we had budgeted is truly exorbitant. And it's too bad, but hopefully we can find something less expensive sometime during the year, or maybe do a better job of budgeting for the safety device for next year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Comments? Alderman Maladra?
Yeah, I was curious, what did drive the price up so high over what we thought it would be?
I went out and got engineering estimates when we did the design, and I didn't have enough breakdown in the price to be able to determine what drove it up so high. If I go out to rebid it, and which I plan to do, is to break it down into pieces so that we can bid it in pieces if necessary.
Okay. And that was my second question. So now what? And now we go out for rebid and
right.
finer numbers.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? The motion is to reject the bids. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Item 4F is to recommend draft ordinance adopting the identity protection policy for the City of Geneva.
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Brown.
Second.
Second by Alderman Dantino, whose identity has been identified.
I'm here.
Yes. Ellen Burmeier is with us this evening. Ellen, any questions for Ellen? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I should introduce you to the audience. You coordinate our Human Resources Division.
I do.
In the City of Geneva. So.
Thank you for having me.
Good evening, Ellen.
Hi.
Welcome. I haven't had a chance to meet you yet. I should have. This protects Social Security numbers in particular at great detail, right?
Yes.
And the thing that bothers me, of course, is in the state of Illinois, every time I go to the doctor's office and hand my Medicare card to them, everyone knows my Social Security number. And every time I go to an airport or anyone else and hand my driver's license to them, everyone knows my Social Security number. It's become sort of a joke protecting Social Security numbers. They've become a universal identification number. Horrors, I said it. They've become sort of a universal identification number, which was never the original intent. To what extent can this actually help us? I don't understand. It seems to me that everyone in the world knows my Social Security number, or should have.
If you'd like to rattle it off, I'd like to verify.
I don't have it yet. I'd like it.
Under the voice of seminar.
I actually have found over the course of the last 10 years that the use of Social Security numbers is dwindling from the HR perspective. So I'm kind of surprised to hear that you, particularly with the HIPAA laws in the doctor's office, that you are identified using either your name or your Social Security number.
Your Medicare number nowadays is your Social Security number. How many people have noticed that?
Yes.
And your driver's license number in Illinois is your Social Security
number. Just you and Sam, apparently.
it's one of these things that we certainly cannot solve in the level of the City of Geneva,
right.
But somehow one gets the impression that one ought to do something about it. But certainly to the extent that we can protect it, yes.
And the Act mandates us to pass a policy which, you know, we will try to enforce.
In some sense, this is almost housekeeping because
yes,
we've been
it truly is
mandated by the State of Illinois.
Yes,
thus require our driver's licenses to be social. Okay,
well,
I will certainly vote for it, and
okay.
I appreciate your efforts to keep us in tune with the city's state laws.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else on the dais? Questions or comments for Ms. Burmeier? We have a motion on the floor. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Item 4G is to recommend draft resolution authorizing the replacement of one tandem axle dump truck in the budgeted amount of $114,967 from the State of Illinois' Joint Purchase Program.
So moved.
Second.
Vogelsberg makes the motion and Piper makes the second. Questions or comments for the Director of Public Works, Mr. Dinges? Just for those in the audience, this dump truck only has AM radio because we are very... No? Okay.
Here we go. Wow.
The guarantee not to move the turf during snow removal?
We're not even going to move the snow.
Oh, good.
A motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? 4G passes unanimously. Item 4H is to host a discussion on the City Council policy related to the South Geneva study area. Prior to beginning, I would like just to lay out the ground rules for this evening's discussion, debate, and ultimate decision. Mr. Dick Unch, our Community Development Director, is at the rostrum, and he is going to present a brief, no more than 5 minutes, and I believe it's actually less than that, which is good, overview of how we got to where we are. Followed Mr. Unch's comments will be comments or questions from the audience by those residents who live within the boundary area first, period. Okay? I would ask that, of course, your comments be not only germane, but if someone else has already shared those comments, and if you want to stand up just for the purpose of being recognized, just say ditto or what have you. I'm looking at you, Marty. Comments and questions by Alderman Dantino and Alderman Maladra will be entertained, since Dantino and Maladra.
You think maybe we could flip those two?
Maladra and Dantino?
No. Well, of course. But I think if we speak first, that might help people speaking after us.
Well, if you'd like, I'll defer. It's the committee. It's up to you guys.
I think that's what your memo said.
Okay.
No, it's flipping yep. 2 and 3 from your memo.
You got it. We'll flip that around. We'll have the alderman speak first, ask questions.
He's welcome to go first.
Making statement. Okay, you got it. And then comments or questions by other interested parties. Residents living outside the boundary area will certainly be entertained. I must, however, state that because this is not a public hearing per se under the guidelines of the Illinois law, the council is not required to accept commentary, but of course, because you've taken time out of your schedule to be here, we always invite it and welcome it. But we do wish those comments to be made in person. Therefore, if you have a statement to be read by somebody else via proxy, that's fine. If you're here to represent someone else and just want to go off, I believe my neighbor thinks, we really should not accept those comments. So does that make sense? Mr. Unch, Director of Community Development, the floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you. Good evening. In 2007, the City Council adopted the Geneva Strategic Plan for 2017. The strategic plan lists priority objectives that the council plans to address. The plan is reviewed by the council annually and is used by the city departments as they prepare their annual budgets. One of the goals of the plan is to heighten awareness and foster implementation of historically and architecturally significant buildings and property maintenance codes. One of the objectives under this goal is to consider nomination of the South Geneva Study Area as a potential historic district or conservation district. Last September, the Community Development Department reviewed with the council initial information on this study area. The council then directed staff to continue gathering information and to meet with residents in the area to gauge interest in historic designation. Staff continued its work and met with area residents on May 5th to share information on historic preservation and to gather comments on that idea. Survey forms were also distributed at the meeting for the purpose of gathering resident comments. The verbal feedback staff received at the meeting, as well as through letters, email messages, and survey responses since the May 5th meeting, has been overwhelmingly against the idea of a historic designation. In fact, to date, the staff has only received one communication from residents within the South Geneva Study Area expressing support for continued exploration of a historic designation. Now, the neighborhood is comprised of properties that have some of the highest residential real estate values in the city. The depressed real estate market has had the effect of reducing home values, and for property owners trying to sell homes, have tended to sit on the market for a long time. Homeowners have a number of fears, and we learned this from the discussion on May 5th, as well as in our continuing dialogue and receipt of feedback. They fear historic designation will further reduce their property values or impact sales opportunities for their homes. Some owners simply dislike the additional regulations historic designation would bring to the proposed exterior home improvements for their home. Some owners don't see the need for historic designation and don't feel the area is threatened by changes that would damage the neighborhood's architectural character. To date, the written feedback we've received is summarized as follows. We have 12 properties opposed, or owners opposed to further exploration of a designation. 3 are not sure, and 1 is in support. Now, additionally, there are homeowners along Holly Lane unanimously opposed to the inclusion of Holly Lane within this study area. The Holly Lane Homeowners Association has submitted a petition signed by the owners of all 11 properties comprising the association, stating their opposition to be included in the study area. The petition states that the agreement and declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions recorded against the Holly Lane properties, also known as the McLaughlin subdivision, protects improper use of lots that would depreciate the value of properties and therefore adequately protects the interests of its owners. They state that the inclusion of Holly Lane in the study area is redundant, unneeded, and unwanted by the owners. So when you total up the feedback we've received combined with the petition response from the Holly Lane folks, we have a total of 23 homeowners or properties within that study area that oppose further exploration of historic designation. So therefore, the questions that are posed before the council this evening, and I think there are three basic ones. Does the City Council want to eliminate the objective in the strategic plan for considering historic designation in the South Geneva study area? And of course, the converse of that would be, does the City Council want to maintain the objective in the strategic plan to consider historic designation in this area? And if there is interest in maintaining the objective, does the City Council want to exclude Holly Lane from the study area? So those are my comments, and I'm available for questions.
The three options that Mr. Unch has presented will ultimately be determined by this committee of the whole and then ultimately advance to the City Council on, was it June 6th for a ratification. Traditionally, at the committee of the whole level, we kind of operate a little bit more casually. So I'm not going to entertain a motion right now, but instead let folks speak. Beginning with Alderman Maladra, and then Alderman Dantino. And then we'll open it up to those living within the boundary area, and then we'll just let the conversation flow from there. So, Alderman Maladra.
Okay. I asked to change the order because I thought it would be helpful for people to have a sense of where the council's at before they have to make their comments. I think that some of the comments I've been hearing indicate to me that they don't really understand what the council's feeling at the time might be. So I don't have questions necessarily. I just have a statement. It's kind of the way things went at the meeting on May 5th. We opened the floor for questions, and people started making statements, so I'll do the same tonight. So in Geneva, we value our heritage and the character of our neighborhoods. This is not a council dictate. This is something we've heard loudly and clearly over the years from city residents in many different forums. In the meetings that went into the development of the city's comprehensive land use plan, and the meetings that resulted in the city's strategic plan for 2017, and the downtown master plan meetings, and meetings regarding tree preservation and infill. All of these forums were public, all well publicized, all well attended. So our actions as a council on the matter of the South Geneva Historic District were undertaken as a result of this community input. Let's be clear about the scope and intent of those actions. Contrary to what seems to me to be popular opinion, this was not an attempt to establish a historic district unilaterally and without consent. It was a step taken to inform people about the facts and to gather from people input about the desirability of historic district in order to commence study of the issue. To that extent, I think it was successful. We have received plenty of input. I've heard from many people on the subject. Most people feel that historic districts have a negative impact on property values and make it more difficult to sell a house. I've also heard from people who feel the opposite. From my perspective, that specific issue is debatable. My personal opinion is I don't necessarily think that it has a negative impact on property values, but as I said, it's debatable. However, I don't.
Time's up.
Time's up. I'd like to buy a minute, please. Just when I get to the however, that's the best part.
$1,000.
However, I don't view this as a debate on the values of preservation. I view this as a discussion about the feasibility of moving ahead with a historic district. One thing that cannot be debated is the responsibility that comes with living in a historic district. Many people find it a burden, others may not, but the people who move into an existing historic district consent to the requirements thereof. That same consent must come from people living in an area that is now being proposed as a historic district. It is our desire for preservation such that we can, in good conscience, force such responsibility on an unwilling neighborhood? I think not. So the question is, what now? Same question I asked Mr. Buffington. He had the answer. I don't. I say there's a time and a place for everything. This is clearly not the time, and the place or the area of study seems to me to be too broadly defined. Perhaps a more precisely defined area at a time of more economic strength would meet with more acceptance. Although I am willing to say not now, I will not say never. I'll settle for not until we have the proper scope, circumstances, and neighborhood support. Thank you.
Alderman Dantino.
Should I say ditto?
Ditto, yeah.
that would work.
All right, I'll take it. I don't have a prepared speech, but definitely I've gotten a lot of emails, and I did get one in favor of this, so... But the public has spoken, so it's pretty obvious to me that this is not the right time to do something like this. I will have a question for Mr. Unch when we're into that part. Thank you.
Thank you. Residents from the boundary area, we cordially invite you to join us. Mr. Smirsich,
You said it right.
I know I did, because you and I have spoken, what, 1,000 times? And there
were,
I'm kidding you.
No.
Mr. Smirsich, welcome to the council chamber. You've been here before, I know. So
I have.
And just for the record, we need to have name, address, and social security number.
Okay.
Strangest thing, but we need to.
The name is Marty Smirsich, and whoever's taking notes, that's S-M-I-R-C-I-C-H. I have two houses in the discussion, and one is at 909 South Batavia Avenue. And that home deserves attention anytime you talk about preservation. It truly is a jewel, and it's been preserved for some 83 years by private ownership and what I call voluntary preservation. So to most of your remarks, I say ditto. But I point that out as being very important to this group, the concept of voluntary preservation. I also own a house at 281 Hawley Lane, and that's one of Geneva's newest neighborhoods. 90% of the homes in that neighborhood average 22 and a half years old. Now tell me how that can fit in anywhere. It's been described as eligible because of proximity. Proximity to a neighborhood that could have, maybe will have, possibly four-story historic homes. I think it's wrong. I think it's overreach, and I don't think it's right. Now the supermajority, and I'm talking 85 to 95%, and again to your point, Alderman, 85 to 95% of the homes in the study area are probably not going to be included as significant. There's probably only a dozen homes in the study area, and I would suggest that we look at those dozen homes, including mine, and do whatever you can do to get the owners to voluntarily continue the preservation that they've done for 83 years, or to do it under a more organized city code. I think that's reasonable. But it's the supermajority of the owners that are affected because you want to get to a half a dozen or a dozen homes. I just think that's wrong. And I agree this council certainly has the power, and I think the obligation, and again, ditto, to align your actions with the will of the citizens, particularly of this district and of future districts. And I'm not sure exactly what you said, but I got the gist of it. But I'd like to be a little bit more specific. I'd say delete South Batavia Avenue from the strategic plan immediately by vote of this council and the city council. And I spoke of the supermajority. Require a supermajority of my neighbors to be part of a district before you bring us into a district. Now, that's pretty difficult to do, and I realize that. But the onus now is on the preservationists. Let them do it. If they can't do it, look at the homes that are eligible and do it there. But don't drag another 135 homes into the whole study if it's not necessary. So require a supermajority of the neighborhood. And thirdly, be accountable yourselves and require a supermajority of this body and the city council to approve the any further effort to make it a historic district. I think it's a win-win situation. The door is still open, as you pointed out, it should be, but it is not so wide open that you can drive that new dump truck through. You're going to have to go through in a very organized manner and go, please go house by house for the houses that should be saved. And our neighbors will feel very protected by a supermajority, because we know that that will assure that things are done right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smirsich. Whomever, this gentleman here, and then the gentleman right there. So, oh, God, Mr. Carlson, God help us all. It's like, if I would have known it was you, I would have skipped right over you.
Most of you know me. I've lived in...
But though we have millions...
I'm John Carlson.
We have millions of viewers.
Oh, no. TV?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
The camera's right here.
Primp, primp.
And there's one behind you.
I've lived in the...
And your address, Mr. Carlson. And there's not a 7-second
511
delay.
Fargo.
511 Fargo. Thank you, sir.
602 Fargo, 946 Sunset.
No, that's good.
221 Holly, 935 Batavia Avenue, 921 Batavia Avenue. But I moved out of the 5th Precinct once when I moved to 602. I've lived in town 53 years, and I like what Marty said. I just wonder, and I would say, historic houses can be plaqued, and that offers probably, I think, in our neighborhood, I've seen a number of houses, not necessarily buttes, you know, but they've gone down, and, you know, you've got other things rising up. And I suspect maybe that's why this has come about. I think I agree. I'll go ditto with Marty on most everything else about the supermajority, about having the preservation group going in. And I just wanted to offer the idea of, you know, maybe placking serves the purpose in between. And I'll leave and go.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Gentlemen, and then to the gentleman to the right, then.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Bill Shute. I live at 724 South Batavia Avenue. And we've lived in this city since 1988. We've been at our present location since 2003. We love living in Geneva. It's a terrific town. And before I get started, I'd like to thank Mayor Burns and Alderman Maladra for attending the May 5th meeting. I thought the meeting was done extremely well. I wish there would have been a meeting to decide whether we're even going to have a study plan in the beginning. I mean, we've got the letters, people who wanted to attend, people who were serious about it attended the meeting, and I think there was a lot of good input there.
And just for the record, Alderman Kilberg was there as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. The only reason I knew is because of what you set up in front when you announced. You
oh, know. Plus I ran like hell because I saw the sorry.
Okay. A lot of the points that I was going to make has already been covered, but we attended the meeting, we had no preconceived notion. We just wanted to find out what it's all about. What's going on here? We left the meeting. We were not in favor of it, okay? We thought it kind of went down a little bit. We thought the area was being approached as we have to absolutely do it, there's no way, even though there were three options presented, one being an historic district, one being just designations of residences, and the other one is forget about it. There was three options there, but it seemed like The presentations to that was all geared toward full speed ahead, okay? And I'm glad we had this follow-up meeting, and I'm glad you brought us all in so we could all give our due this evening. A couple of things that I was hoping to hear from that meeting is, what designates a historic area? Is it a percentage of homes? So homes have to be a certain size? What you just feel like doing it, so you do it? What makes a historic district? And I would really like to get an answer to that question. And the other answer that I'd really like to get an answer, and I kind of got an answer tonight, is how did all of this come about? How did you pick the south side, and what were the rationale behind it? Because if you take a look at the residences, those 144 residences, the vast majority, people take care of their property. They're proud of their property. Everything is great. And they don't need any additional burden of whether it's ordinances or whatever comes along with a historic district there. They know what to take care of, and they pretty much take care of it. So a lot of my points, I'll just add on to Marty, do a ditto there because he covered a lot of the points here. But I really appreciate the time to be able to talk and look forward to it. And I'm not opposed to it. I think on a residential house-by-house basis, if it qualifies, go with it. But I don't think we should do the whole area just because we want to do the whole area. Thank you.
Would anybody object if I allowed either Dick or Carl to answer Mr. Schutt's questions so that everyone benefits from the answers right now? Okay. The first question was,
what makes a historic district?
Yes, what determines a historic district historic?
Well, the historic, I've got my back to the audience here, but I'll explain it to you, Mayor, and the council. The historic district is really considered within the context of a study. And we've identified this study area that really set in motion our communication with the property owners living in the neighborhood. And the study that's done is detailed. It's done house by house. There's a survey form associated with it. And the architectural elements, the design of the house, its style, the building materials, all of that is inventoried on that survey sheet. That's the architectural side of it. Then there's also a historical side of it. And research is done on each property within the study area to identify elements of history going back in time that are tied to that particular property. It could be events. It could be a famous architect that designed the house. It could be a person of prominence in the history of Geneva that lived in the on the property. And there are a number of elements to potential elements to that component. And so research is done primarily through the History Center and through other archival data that we have to get a picture of what the history of that house is. And on that basis, there's an evaluation made as to whether it's contributing or non-contributing to that area.
And perhaps to answer a question that several people might be thinking, that same sort of research is done with respect to a single property as well.
That is correct. Okay. And we have, in this study area, we actually have four individually landmarked properties that have gone through that study process. And
our city code, which contained our preservation ordinance, also outlined criteria for the required criteria for a historic district. And this was part of the presentation I gave on May 5th. And I'll just pull up the slide that pertains to that when we can here. So there's several criteria that have to be met in order for a district to be considered eligible for per our ordinance. And this is an ordinance that was established in 1994.
The magic time frame is 50 years, Carla?
Actually, our district designation doesn't specify a number of years, whereas our individual landmark ordinance does specify a minimum age of 30 years. But the typical rule for historic preservation is a 50-year rule. Sorry. So this is the criteria that's required for the designation of a district. It has to have the district has to have integrity of design, materials, workmanship, setting, location, feeling, and association. And the proposed area must have one or more of the following. It exemplifies broad cultural, political, economic, or social history. It's identified with a historic person or important events. It represents the work of a master, or the architectural land use characteristics distinguish it from the rest of the city.
Question number two, Mr. Unch, was, and we kind of touched on this,
yeah.
How the heck did we get to where we are tonight?
Yes.
And that summary, I mean, we were all present. I think even Alderman Kilburg participated in the project, I believe, back in 2006 and 2007, as did many residents who are in the audience tonight. When the strategic planning workshop was held to build out the 10-year horizon for the city, this topic, among many others, was discussed. The neighborhood in question was not selected because of deteriorating property or any of those reasons. It was primarily selected because of the four reasons there. And it was entered into the strategic plan as part and parcel to, we should consider this. If you look at some of the plans we have in place strategically and otherwise, believe it or not, there's other neighborhoods that we've actually considered as well and will soon consider. So, but the first step in that entire process is, gee, what do the neighbors think? So, Mr. Shute, is that a fair enough answer? Or? Okay.
James, 85 South Batavia Avenue. Marty, thanks for letting my kid play paintball in your backyard there. I just
need a permit for paintball, Mr. Right.
I want to ditto. I just want to go on record as ditto with what Marty suggested. I'm not quite as diplomatic as he is. Been there about 11 years. Everything has been going very well. I think all the neighborhood, anywhere I go, it's always been improvement. So please remove any level of bureaucracy and stay out of my business, basically. So thank you.
Mr. Deans. Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot about my friend over there. Mr. Deans, he owes me money, so we'll let Mr. Deans go first, and then this guy can go.
I owe you money?
Yeah, clearly, you must.
I have stories on you from high school, so I wouldn't
I know you do.
Mess
I know.
Around.
Thank you.
I'd like to speak from two roles. First of all, being a resident of Holly Lane, I was one of the unanimous homeowners of our association who have asked to be excluded from consideration in the historic district. I think Holly Lane is a little bit unique and unusual in the South Geneva district. We are a private road. If you wanted to enjoy the historic splendor of my house, you wouldn't be able to come see it because it's a private road. You're not allowed to come down our road. So it's a little bit different than the other parts of the district. Also, in the development of our property, we have already signed an agreement with the City of Geneva that governs the covenants and the way that our properties can be developed. So I think it's the feeling of our group on our road that we've already covered this ground. We've already had the discussion with the City of Geneva, and we've already established the rules on the development and preservation, and it's very specific in the covenants about keeping the aesthetic beauty and the ecological preservation of our area. So I think we feel like we've already covered this ground, and it would be redundant and unnecessary, and it's definitely unwanted by our members to add anything on top of that. Second of all, as a longtime resident of the district, as Mr. Carlson, I grew up in that district. I went to Western Avenue High School, or Western Avenue Elementary School, and lived at the corner of Easton and Meadows. My grandfather built the house on Easton that is one of the ones that's pictured in the marketing material. And except for a few years when I was living outside the district, which coincidentally was in Hinsdale, which is kind of the poster child of, knockdowns and destroying old homes. But other than that, I've lived in that area. And one of the things that struck me when I came back to Geneva from Hinsdale was I thought how beautiful things had gotten, and a lot of the homes in the South Geneva district in particular, there were some beautiful new homes. My impression was that that area had gotten quite a bit better, and some of the homes that were built there were a significant improvement over the older homes that had been there. So in my view, if things are already on in their own volition getting better, and the look and feel of the neighborhood is improving, why would you want to try to legislate something to encourage something that's already happening? And in my case, as in the case I know of a few other properties in the area, kind of the opposite of what you would worry about, say worry about in Hinsdale, is happening. We combined two lots and made one big lot where my home is. I know there are others in the district who have done the same thing. So I see more examples of that happening as compared to someone who's buying a lot, splitting it up, and putting five or six houses onto one small lot. So I think, in general, I don't see any negative trends going on in the development of the neighborhood. So I'm kind of the opinion of what's not broke, don't fix. So I would be in favor of the status quo and leave things as they are. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, forgive me for skipping over.
Good evening. My name is Patrick McCann. I live at 701 Hawthorne. Myself and four or five other residents in that area kind of took it upon ourselves to go out and get a pulse for what was going on and what people thought. And I apologize for the lateness of it, but I did email all the aldermen and you, Mr. Mayor, the results of what we found. And I guess I have two numbers that I'd like to not only share with you, but everybody in the audience. To date, we have 63 people that are opposed to the formation of this historical district. I don't know how many of Dick's 23 cross-reference into my 63, but it certainly could go higher than that. The second number that I'd like to share is if you take Holly Lane, Dow, Peck, Forest, and Fargo, of the people we were able to contact, 79% of those residents opposed the formation of this district. The way we went about this was after the May 5th meeting, or at the May 5th meeting, we were told that there was going to be a survey put onto the website. I kind of gave that a few days, and when that didn't happen, I filed a FOIA request with Carla, who was prompt in getting me the 140 addresses to for the area. I received that on May 13th. So that only gave us 10 days to get what to date amounts to 45% opposition to this district. So I would ask that, you know, the motion be tabled or canceled, killed, whatever you want to call it, in the fact that I think the general idea, the general trend from the people that I've talked to is no. And I'll just give you one example. I spent probably 2 hours on Sunday on South Batavia Avenue. And of the residents on that street, I was only able to reach five. All five signed the petition not to have this designated as an area. So with that, I thank you for your time and have a good evening.
Thank you very much, Mr. McKinn. Yes, madam. And then Tom. Oh, that'd be great. If you'd like to draw, yeah, we'd be happy to accept them. If there's no objection from the committee.
One copy or title?
Oh, one's fine. We'll charge you for the copy.
Oh, I already paid for it.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Mary Goodfellow. I live at 1010 South Batavia Avenue, and we've lived there 28 years, and we lived 9 years on Meadows before that. And I agree with some of what Marty said. If it's the average is 22 years, you shouldn't be in there anyway if it's 30 years regulation. But I do think that right now, as the two aldermen have stated, it's not the right time. Even to select certain homes, take select homes and say, you guys pass and you guys get to be historic, under the preservation of this committee is the wrong time. It doesn't really matter what the home looks like or who made it or who lived there or anything like that. It's just the wrong time. This is a difficult time for a lot of people. And I think that most people in our neighborhood are really, really have a lot of pride in the neighborhood and take care of it. And, yes, I understand why the city is saying, so we would like to project this along the into the future to keep this neighborhood the way that it is. But it's going to put hard times on a lot of people trying to sell their home, trying to maintain their home, trying to pay for the right improvements that people are going to put on them. And even though someone selected them, which I'm sure is it's an honor, still, this just isn't the right time. And so to even leave somebody off the list and then and keep somebody on there, it's not the right time for that. It's a time to pass. And I think, you know, there's people across the street opted to be on in a historic home, and they were given the plaque, and that was their decision. But for those who don't want to be there, I think this isn't the time to impose it. If they want to, then great. You know, then they take on the responsibility that that holds. But for the rest of the people who say, this isn't the right time, or I'd rather not, then I hope that you'll hear, I hope that you hear their voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Goodfellow. Mr. Simonian?
Thank you.
Thank
Tom,
you.
Tom Simonian, 921 South Batavia Ave. This is one of this is a decision I think that we have back here. Mostly emotion. Question is fact. I love to react to emotion, but I try and dig deep into fact. And I want to share some facts with you about this district of 140 homes. I requested through the Federal Information Whatever Act all the significant additions, new builds, knockdowns, what you call tear-down infill projects, over the last 15 years. And I just want to share that with you. In 2010, there were zero. 2009, there were two homes of significant additions, 934 Batavia and 722 Dow. 2008, zero. 2007, two homes, tear-down infills, 803 Dow and 200 Foxford Lane. 2006, zero. 2005, two homes, tear-downs, infills, 701 Forest and 801 Meadows. 2004, zero. 2003, zero. 2002, zero. 2001, a new home was built. 2000, zero. 1999, zero. 1998, zero. 1997, zero. 1996, two homes built, 198 Holly and 1071 Batavia. In the 15 years, four homes were teardowns and infill projects, two homes of significant additions, and three new homes were built. 13 of the last 15 years, there was zero teardown and refill projects. 13 of the last 15 years, there were zero homes built. And one of the last 15 years was significant additions. One of the largest real estate booms in history prior to 2007 and 2008. In that 10-year period, there were only two homes which were tear down in infills, and there were three homes built. I also requested how many parcels of land had been purchased and subdivided, because I think that was one of the issues as well. And what I received, I don't know if it's a complete, but there's only been two recent properties, 1111 Meadows and 1010 Batavia. The first was to divide and create a new lot to the rear over the existing house. And the second one was the homeowner requested that the rear portion of the lot be buildable. So that said, I think this area does a great job of policing itself. I've been here 13 years, and quite honestly, the teardowns and infills, I would encourage you to go take a look at those homes. They're absolutely beautiful homes. I would, as a committee, go and take a look at some of the other 135 homes and request that they tear down and refill them. Because they're horrible, and they're a disgrace to this city versus a compliment. So that said, couple of things. We are not Hinsdale. This area is not bungalow-sized lots where you can stick your hand out and shake your neighbor's hand through the kitchen window. They're all large lots. I live on 3 1/4 acres myself. All my neighbors are large. They want to build something obnoxious. They want to build something purple or hot pink. Fine, I'll just put up more trees to block it. We are not in small lots. Let's see. The best indicator of the future is take a look at the past. The past 15 years have been a pretty good indication of how we as a neighborhood take care of our homes. And then lastly, I want to echo what a good neighbor of mine, who just was up here earlier, Jeff James, said in our May 5th meeting, is that we don't want another layer of government bureaucracy telling us what we can and cannot do at our homes when we can police it ourselves, and we've proven that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simonian. Very intelligent. Anyone else? From the dais, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, as many here, have been around long enough to remember the origin of the historic district that we have downtown. And it originated as a grassroots movement from people who lived in the district who came to the council and created the momentum to create that district. In this case, we have the opposite, where the city has said, well, we have this district, which in some sense has been successful, and we have looked to see how it might be expanded. But without the grassroots movement, I don't think there is we have any standing at all to even suggest it. So I would ask right now, my impression at this moment is the council should ask the staff to desist any effort in this area of creating a South Geneva Historic District until we have a grassroots movement that comes to us with suggestions as to why we need it and what its correct boundary should be. And until then, I think the question I would have right now is, I think it's about time that we have a motion on the table, Mr. Mayor. If you have a suggestion for a motion.
I do have a suggestion for a motion, and it's very important that the language in that motion include reference to the 2017 City of Geneva Strategic Plan. And it's my recommendation. I know Alderman Malata and Alderman Dantino have a copy of what I had recommended. Mr. Unch summarized it during his presentation. There are three options before us tonight. Again, I'll defer to the alderman of the respective ward.
I will certainly defer to someone who has thought hard about how to word this motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
It's in my humble opinion, I'll defer to our sitting quasi-city attorney, Ms. McKittrick. The three options available to this body is to either make a motion to maintain the city's 2017 strategic plan as written and continue with the South Geneva study as presented, or amend the city's 2017 strategic plan to exclude Holly Lane from the study area, or a motion to amend the city's 2017 strategic plan by eliminating the South Geneva study area. And by eliminating that area, that in effect, of course, conveys to our professional staff that we will no longer be focusing on this project as part of the strategic plan for the city. Alderman Dantino.
Does that become permanent, or how soon?
That becomes permanent until such time, and this is important. And again, I know many of you were here in 2006 and 2007, and it's interesting to note from a purely sociological perspective, when we have these huge community meetings and we invite hundreds of people to participate, traditionally, the same 150 or so usually participate. And oftentimes, the ideas that percolate from that group and then are put into practice in the form of a strategic plan. So with
I will make a motion.
It could come back, but my hunch is that we'll have greater participation in the future.
Okay. So then, if we make this top, the first one you suggested here, that has nothing to do with this Holly Lane second petition we have, or
correct.
It includes it, basically.
It certainly does.
Okay.
It covers it all.
All right, so I will make the motion to amend the city's 2017 plan by eliminating the South Geneva study area.
Second.
Motion by Dantino, seconded by Maladra. Any questions or comments? Alderman Vogelsberg?
Go ahead. Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to just say a few things. You know, Tom, of course, I'm going to take you to no. But there's a couple things that I feel like came up tonight that, I mean, I'm totally in favor of taking it off these study, our strategic goals. But I don't. There's some misinformation that I don't want to get the wrong idea from people, that this did come from the residents in 2006 to study it. It wasn't identified, but it was from the residents. So it's not, we are just following what we heard from the community. And the second thing is, I hear a lot of people saying that about taking care of the neighborhood and taking care of the home and police in the area, but I have always thought that a historic district or a historic plaque home is a distinction, not a punishment, not an implication that you can't, that the city has to step in. I thought it was like that you have an amazing house, we're going to help you protect it, so it is not because you need any self-policing. It's like an honor. It's in my opinion. But nobody wants more government. We totally get that. We get it all the time. But we are also the ones that get the calls from people about their next door neighbor, loud trucks, this, that, the other thing. So even though it seems like it all works out, I believe the code enforcement in Dick Unch's department is dealing with neighbor problems all the time. Maybe not in your neighborhood, but in the 22,000 people. So I don't want anyone to walk away thinking that this is something we just were bored and we wanted to do. We thought it was an honor, and our whole point of this process was to study it, to see if you wanted it. But no one would ever, I mean, the last one, I think, went to referendum. So if the residents, if you don't want it in your neighborhood, no one else does either. You know, when somebody wants a sidewalk in their 25-year-old neighborhood, first thing we tell them is talk to your neighbors, get every single neighbor to sign it, because we're not even going to impose a sidewalk on someone's lawn. So it's the same thing. If you guys don't want it, we don't want it. But it was never it was supposed to be a good thing that we just wanted to study. So that's all. I just want to clarify, because I don't want anyone to think that it is because we don't think the neighborhood can't be self-policed. It's an honor, and, you know, it brings all this good juju to the city, whatever. So, but if nobody wants it, I totally respect that. Thank you.
Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to bring up a point. The mayor's right. When we do these big, broad meetings, we do see a lot of the same faces, and we're up at this level, and we come up with these big ideas, and we see these faces, and then we bring it down and we get more specific, and it gets specific into the neighborhoods, and then we see these faces, and it's like, wait a minute, this affects me directly, and now we see a completely different group of people, and then it's whoa, what are we doing here? And then it's completely different. The council's well aware I'm about as politically correct as Mr. James. I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't want to get in your business. I'm all for voting this out. But I don't want anybody to I don't want their misunderstanding. If someone in the neighborhood wants their house plaqued, they can come forward and plaque it. I don't want to choose that house. Let them come forward and plaque it. I don't want to choose the entire neighborhood to be plaqued. So I think this is a great way to go. And I think this has been from square one when this first got brought up and we started to hear from the residents. We were out over our skis as to how far south we were going and started to hear from the residents. So I think we're going the right direction here. Thank you for coming in. That was great.
Alderman Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Alderman Piper, and if somebody does want their home plaqued, there is a procedure and opportunity that you can have that accomplished. Some of you may have already done that. I have the rules in front of me. I secured several months ago when this subject first was being considered by the city of Geneva, and it is controlled now by the Geneva History Center. And they have a set of rules, one page, it's dated 2006, and it's very, very good. You can have your home plaqued if you so want to do that. And that's the way that I would think it should be accomplished. It's going to cost you $400 to $500, But if you have that much of a respect for your home and you want to have it plaqued, go ahead and plaque the heck out of it. But just don't go see the dentist. You can get the plaque from the History Center and have it installed, and it'll be very nice and have something very unusual and be very important to you and to your home and to your neighborhood. Otherwise, I agree with, I believe, the rest of the aldermen that we should not continue this goal that was established last fall, and that we should eliminate it from our strategic plan immediately. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience at all? Mr. Smirsich? Mr. Bruno? Again, anyone's, the floor is open to anyone. Mr. Smirsich?
I would ask that some aldermen...
Into the microphone, if you could, sir, because we want to make sure...
I would ask that some aldermen introduce the supermajority concept. You might be more creative than I was as I presented it, but either a supermajority of this body or the supermajority of the neighborhood.
Just for clarification, if such a motion is considered, then it has to be for any and all future consideration of historic districts, not just this one. So, Mr. Bruno? Then that other handsome devil in the back there. They both look at each other.
Mike Bruno, 522 Fulton Street. Full disclosure, I am on the Historic Preservation Commission. Pretty clear there's a lot of resistance. I myself am not even married to the concept. I'm a little troubled that we can be so dismissive of the strategic plan, because, I mean, I had been at some of those, and it was pretty unambiguous, you know, on any number of levels in terms of historic preservation and historic districts. It seems like a good deal of the resistance, too, you know, it's like now's not the time. You know, this is not a huge cost sink. I'm not sure what the right time was. Is the right time when properties are threatened? You know, a couple of points that have come up a number of times in terms of property values. I've been on historic preservation for a long time, 10 years or so. Done a lot of research. I've been to a lot of seminars and, you know, the studies. And there are studies about property value and turnover, you know, home sales impact. There's never been anything but positive things. Homes in historic districts sell for more. They trade faster. You know, some of the concerns, obviously, a very large net was thrown on the study area. So clearly there's properties that are non-contributing. I think it should be, you know, known by all the residents that really being in a district, if you got a non-contributing home, it's really kind of a non-issue. As long as you're not impacting neighboring properties, you can pretty much do anything you want. You know, there was some said about self-policing, too. You know, everyone's doing a nice job, and that's great, which, again, means if you're doing that, if you're working to that level and maintaining your property, again, being in a historic district is a non-issue. You know, the historic district does offer the option. I know there was someone describing a neighbor doing enough work on their house where they could freeze their taxes for 8 years if they were in a historic district. I was able to take care of, you know, just such an incentive program. We came in at the sweet spot, bought a bomb of a house, fixed it up, and basically our restoration for our whole home was pretty much paid for through that tax freeze. You know, clearly this is not going to get, you know, voted to proceed tonight, but I think in the future, well, A, I wouldn't want to be too dismissive of that strategic plan, but when the point comes up in the future that people should really understand what the impact is with, you know, with property values and home sales, because it's really all positive. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Bruno. Mr. Mahaffey? And then this young lady.
Yes, I'm Ernie Mahaffey, 503 South First Street, and my mayor's award for historic preservation is here. It's really interesting. You know, this is a debate, always a debate. It says for historic modification completed. I think the Historic Preservation Commission couldn't agree on the quality of the work that we were doing. And so that's the best we could get. But the truth is that they did approve the plan. I think there had to have been a good debate around whether what we were doing was the right thing or not to get that kind of plaque. Now, a couple of things I'd like to say. I guess I would like to speak for historic districts. I live in one. I have made three major renovations, all reviewed by Historic Preservation in 20 years. I have just finished another property, 405 South First Street, which is in the historic district, in between two contributing buildings, we undertook that knowing what the constraints were, willing to work within them. We have gotten the Illinois State Historic Preservation Agency's approval for tax freeze, which will be, the house is for sale. Anyone who buys the house? The house is for sale, and I can pass that on to one buyer. So it's worth about $4,000 a year for 10 years. Just to say, a couple of things that tie a couple of things together. It really does seem that the district was that the map is drawn too broadly. But if my memory is correct, this had a grassroots component. It came from people living in historic buildings who saw buildings across the street from them being torn down, and buildings which were in character with their buildings were being torn down, and they had no and subdivided, and they had no control over it. There was no way to stop this. So this was grassroots. Now, it would appear that given economic circumstances and those people not being here, people trying to sell properties these days, I sympathize, that we maybe the majority now don't agree with that, and had the area been drawn much smaller and a much tighter fit, I think that might have been a different story. The historic preservation for people who own a historic house is protection. It's protection of the value of my house relative to the people and what the people around me can do with their homes. It's all about context. My house is a trap if it's not within its context, within its historic context. And that's what these people do for us. They help us protect these properties, yes, but also to protect our value in our neighborhood. It only makes sense in a neighborhood, in a district. So I would hopefully add a positive note to this whole thing, not be so negative. Being in a historic district with a historic house, if you didn't have it for sale in this market, might be different. It would have a premium value. And you could be proud to be the owner and be the seller of that house and to maintain it. The other thing is in historic districts, and this area where the flare-up was over on Fargo. Where was that? It was Cheever, wasn't it?
Thought it was Shady Lane.
Shady Lane, sorry. It's that little area. All those houses are not on three-acre lots. They're on small lots. They can't build a forest around it to protect from what the neighbor has just done to their house. So I think that's just in the context of that. And I would say that it's very important to our community that we protect our historic houses and stand behind our historic districts. And I understand that in this case maybe some mistakes have been made and maybe it's not the right time. But it's not all negative. It can be very positive.
Thank you, Mr. Mahaffey.
Mr. Mayor.
I had some comments, even going back to Mr. Bruno, but also to add on to what Mr. Mahaffey said. Or I'll wait. That's fine.
Madam, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm Natalie Cully. I live at 310 Holly Lane. I've lived in Geneva for 42 and a half years and was actually part of the grassroots movement to establish the first historic district in Geneva. I lived on 401 Franklin in a plaqued house. Mm-hmm. That house deserved a plaque. It deserved to be protected. Where I live now doesn't deserve to be protected. Not that we don't all have lovely houses, but for me, an historic house, in order to get a plaque, you had to have a 100-year-old house. And to say that something that's 35 years old, to me, it makes no sense at all. To have that be part of an historic, that's not historic, that's still new to me. I think we're just pushing everything, trying to get a district that doesn't necessarily need to be a district. You know, the saddest day of my life was the day I found out I was entitled to go to the old settler's coffee at Swedish Days.
So, that's only after 20 years, too.
Yeah, I know. It's so very sad. But I think we need to take another look at what qualifies to be part of an historic district. Is the age thing to me is way too little. It should be at a minimum 75 years, I would say, to be historic. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to recognize Alderman Maladra, who had some comments regarding some of the comments made.
Some of the comments made.
Okay.
So first, regarding the dismissiveness of the strategic plan, I think it's important people realize that what we're doing tonight does not dismiss the strategic plan's focus on honoring our heritage and preserving the character of our neighborhoods. I think that a historic district is one tool in the preservation toolkit. And by, in this instance, saying the time is not right to use that tool, that's not dismissing the goals and the broad goal of the strategic plan. I get confused about what's a goal and what's an objective. Yeah. So broad goal, preservation, honor our heritage, that sort of thing. Narrow tool, use a historic district, not now. Regarding the time being right, Dawn referred to it as almost a referendum, and I think that that's a good way of putting it. You know, there's a time to float a referendum to buy 400 acres west of Peck. There's a time to float a referendum to build a fire station. There's also a time not to do that. And the time not to do that is when you know you're ramming your head into a brick wall. It might be a 100-year-old brick wall, but it's a brick wall nonetheless. And right now, I think it's pretty clear that's exactly what we would be doing. You don't, a historic district, as Mr. Mahaffey said, and Dawn as well, it's not a punishment, but if you try to force it on people when they're not ready, I don't see what else it looks like. It looks just like a punishment. So that's what I meant by the time being right. I forgot whatever else I was going to say.
Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Kilberg, then Alderman Brown.
I'd like to call the question. I'll defer if he has another question. I was going to.
Short comment, if you would, sure. I agree with Mr. Bruno and Mr. Mahaffey that the district we have has done a lot of good things, and the net was thrown wide in this. That's not the fault of the city staff. I think that's a good thing. The data now exists, so indeed, if the grassroots effort wants to examine the data, and the city staff has done a lot of good work in examining this district, and come back to us with a suggestion that the net was thrown very wide, much wider, I believe, the people from the Holly Lane, et cetera. If people want to come back to us again and say that the district that should be under consideration is this, and this is the reason, and we have probably a majority of the people in that district are for it, that the city council will, independent of us taking it out of the plan, we will still respond immediately. We always do. So some good work has been done by the city staff. We are just asking them to put it on hold with this motion that's on the table today until it's reevaluated by the people it affects. But I agree completely with Mr. Bruno and Mr. Mahaffey that on the whole, the district we have, and you all know it, you all walk around downtown, we have a beautiful historic district. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Kilberg.
Anyone else in the audience first?
I'd call the question. I would restate the motion. Motion to eliminate the strategic plan objective for the South Geneva study area for historic preservation, and that staff no longer commit resources to the project without further action or approval from the council.
Alderman Kilberg has restated the motion originally offered by Alderman Dantino and seconded by Alderman Maladra. A simple majority carries the day. An aye vote supports the motion. A nay vote does not. Just for a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, this is simply the Committee of the Whole. This is a recommending body. Whatever action is taken this evening has to be ratified, if you will, by the City Council on Monday evening at 7 p.m. on June 6th.
Simple point, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
The restated motion is agreed to by the original motioners and seconds, I presume.
Yes. I could tell by the deafening silence that it was.
For the record.
For the record. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 7 affirmative votes, 3 absences. This will be on the City Council agenda on June 6th. It will not, however, be on the consent agenda. What does that mean? That means that this will not be marked with an asterisk considered to be routine city business. Because this issue is important to a lot of people, I don't think it's appropriate to put it under an asterisk in case someone else wishes to speak either way. So, any new business, anyone in the audience? I do have one bit of new business I have to say publicly, and I want to apologize to my sainted father. He's only 73. He actually texted me in the meeting and said, "You're now my third favorite son." So, sorry, Dad, I owe you $5. So, anyone from the dais, any new business? Oh, yes. Could you join us at the podium? Oh, okay, if you can, that's fine. That's fine. We'll listen attentively.
My name is Robin Magnuson.
Hi, Robin.
I live on South Batavia Avenue, and I would like to ask who or how we get the Geneva sign at Fabian and 31. That is just a mess there. The grass is as high as my belly button. It just is really ugly looking, and I can't understand why it hasn't been attended to. It looks terrible most of the time.
The short answer is, and I know this is not passing the buck, but number one, we will, Craig and I and Ralph will make certain that Mr. Dinges is aware of your comments. The challenge is we actually work in cooperation, I use that term loosely, with the Illinois Department of Transportation, because that is actually IDOT land that sign sits on. So technically, the Illinois Department of Transportation is responsible for the maintenance of that land. However, we will pay attention to that more moving forward. I know, it's brutal. And in fact, Craig just volunteered to mow it tomorrow.
I'll take it. Well, not tomorrow.
Be careful, there's a lot of stumps there.
That's right. Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you, Craig.
From the dais, any new business?
And leaves.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn is in order. Okay. Offered by Dantino, seconded by Piper. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.